Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Our planet inhabits a hazardous environment. Earth is continually bombarded by cosmic objects. Luckily for us, most of those objects flying around in space are really pretty small and don't pose a significant threat to life on Earth. But some of those objects are quite large and could potentially cause considerable harm if they were to collide with our planet. Evidence of collisions between objects in space, those that are both large and small, is abundant. We can see the dense defacement of Mercury and the Moon and count craters festooning the surfaces of even small asteroids. Although impacts of cosmic objects on Earth have occurred since its very formation, humanity has been at best dimly aware of these events until very recently. Only two centuries ago, it was widely doubted that objects orbiting the Sun could or would collide with Earth. But they have, and they do. These cosmic objects are commonly referred to as near-Earth objects, or NEOs. Paul Jackson, a study director here at the National Academies, who works with the Aeronautics and Space Engineering Board, explains what a NEO is.
A near-Earth object can be more usefully kind of understood as an asteroid or a comet that orbits the Sun, and that orbit either approaches or crosses the Earth's orbit.
The most well-known case from recent history is the 1908 impact of an object at Tunguska in the Siberian wilderness that devastated more than 2,000 square kilometers of forest. In that particular case, the results were not especially spectacular, given that the impact occurred in relative isolation. Had an airburst of the same magnitude occurred over a densely populated city like New York, the impact could have resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths.
NEOs impacting the Earth is somewhat regular. Back in 2008, there was an asteroid called 2008 TC3 that was detected about 19 hours before it entered the atmosphere and exploded over the Sudan. And then there was a more famous airburst that happened in 1908 in Tunguska. So it's not an uncommon occurrence to have these things come into play.
With most of the impacts occurring in remote locations or over oceans, collisions with NEOs often go entirely undetected and unreported. This means that few people are aware of the real hazard represented by NEOs. A new Academy's report, Defending Planet Earth, takes a close look at the current efforts by NASA to both monitor NEOs through surveys and mitigate possible impacts. Although the possibility of a large NEO impact with Earth is remote, conducting surveys of NEOs and studying means to mitigate collisions with them can best be viewed as a form of insurance. Most homeowners, for example, carry fire insurance, even though no one really expects their house to burn down anytime soon. The distinction between insurance for collision hazard and other natural hazards, such as earthquakes and hurricanes, is that we now have the possibility to detect and prevent the most serious NEO collisions.
You can think of the risk of NEOs as similar to the risk of any natural disaster. And the United States and other governments put out a lot of money every year to research and prevent those natural disasters, such as like earthquakes. The United States has spent over $100 million a year at this point to either improve building structures or research the specific danger of earthquakes. But earthquakes actually represent only about 20 deaths per year on average, and most of those deaths actually come from a single event, which happened in San Francisco. So it's very similar to near-Earth objects in that they don't really present a every-year threat to the United States, but they do present a very big threat at some point in the future where a large one will hit. And so research done now would improve our ability to mitigate the effects of such a hit.
Indeed, we have the capacity to detect and even, in true Hollywood fashion, perhaps to counter an impending natural disaster. This capacity, and scientific and public interest in exercising it, has developed and sharply increased in the space age, most likely sparked by the discovery in the late 1980s of the approximately 200-kilometer diameter Chicxulub crater formed by an impact that occurred 65 million years ago in the Yucatan Peninsula. The asteroid or comet that caused this crater is estimated to have been about 10 kilometers in diameter. Its impact wrought global devastation, likely snuffing out species in huge numbers, including the dinosaurs. To assess today's hazards, surveys were undertaken in the 1970s and significantly augmented in the 1990s to discover and track all objects that pass near Earth's orbit to determine the likelihood that one or more would collide with Earth.
Our capabilities of actually tracking these objects varies depending upon the type of object. A comet like the Shoemaker 9 Levy that hit Jupiter in the 1990s, it was actually trapped in Jupiter's orbit for like 20 to 30 years prior to its impact. And so that sort of object doesn't present a huge particular risk to us because it's unlikely that sort of situation would occur for us. In general, we can find a lot of these asteroids as long as they're not coming from us from the direction of the sun, and as long as they're not long-period comets, which are comets that have an orbit of like over 200 years, and so we would only see it really on its return path in when it's coming into Earth. So ultimately, it really varies depending upon the specifics of the object. We can find a lot of these things. In fact, we found 85% of the objects greater than a kilometer, according to our estimates.
Our ability to detect NEOs is dependent on how bright each object appears in the sky, which depends primarily on its distance relative to the sun. NEOs that appear very close to the sun when viewed from Earth make observation difficult or even impossible. The brightness of each NEO also changes as it moves through its orbit, becoming brighter when it comes closer and dimming as it moves away from Earth. This means that it's very difficult to detect every single NEO, particularly those that are smaller, fainter asteroids. Of course, while we have located many NEOs, there are a number that have yet to be discovered, some of which may represent a significant threat of impact on Earth.
NEOs present a persistent small risk. The government's interested in tracking them because what happens if we find a very large one that's going to hit the Earth? It wipes out the population. So we have this sort of vested interest in knowing if that's going to happen and trying to prevent it, because unlike a lot of other natural disasters, a NEO impact may be able to be avoided through technological means.
The United States spends $4 million every year searching for near-Earth objects, with the goal of detecting the ones that have the potential to collide with Earth. This funding does help to operate several observatories that scan the sky searching for NEOs. But it is not sufficient to detect the majority of NEOs that present a tangible threat to humanity.
Currently, we could prevent an impact from a NEO if we were to send a spaceship out and impact into one if we found it, if we had enough warning time. Using this particular method called a kinetic impactor, we could prevent the NEO from impacting us by kind of pushing it along its orbit so that it ends up missing the Earth. But we need a lot of time for that. We could also send other things into space, like a gravity tractor, but we need decades of time for a gravity tractor, which will actually put some force on the near-Earth object over time and slowly change its orbit. In general, we're at the cusp of being able to implement a variety of different mitigation options, but none of them are actually ready to go right now.
And while these mitigation tactics might seem to be the stuff of a Hollywood blockbuster, scientists want to be sure to set public expectations at realistic levels.
Most movies tend to take a lot of license with the facts. For instance, we would not want to send a human crew up to an asteroid that was approaching Earth to try to do something to the asteroid and then fly back home or something to that effect. It would be much more simpler for us to simply send an unmanned craft to crash into the object or to deliver whatever payload we need to deliver. How do you combat this sort of misconception? You do it with reports like this, actually. While this report is somewhat technical, I would argue that, in general, it's mostly readable by non-experts in the area, and it fairly well lays out what the options are and how one would go about deflecting one of these objects or, in general, finding them or defending the Earth against them.
You can learn more about the current surveys being done of NEOs and mitigation strategies to prevent harm in the Academy's report, Defending Planet Earth, Near-Earth Object Surveys and Hazard Mitigation Strategies, Available free online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.